And now, our feature presentation.
It's the 2016 SMAPVA Awards, brought to you by Cold Ones. When you're thirsty as fuck, reach for a cold one. And Perkins Pet Store, never run out of lives again. Here's your SMAPVA host, Justin.
Thank you. That's right. It's that time of the year again when we throw off our shackles of oppression and find a place in the sun with the Stinker Madness Achievements in Bad Filmmaking Awards. This year, the field is chock full of hopefuls, like a warm bucket of fried chicken that you later wear on your head when you think no one is looking. With 6 nominations, Independence Day Resurgence leads the field, but watch out for The Huntsman's Winter's War and 9 Lives with 5 nominations each. Who will take home the coveted Best Bad Movie Award, and who will be left as a disappointment in the history books? I'm your host, Justin, and with me this glorious and sunny day are my fantastic co-chairs, Sando Sam, the Sandwich Man, and Dr. Jackie. Jackie, I'm going to start with you. What surprises can we expect to see today?
I'm going to say, really, how many of the worst bad actresses were nominated for movies that I just really didn't see coming.
Sam! That's great!
Wow, that was like a big fuck you.
Yeah. Well, you're no Charles Barkley. No, you're just kidding.
Sorry.
It is, I think you're right, because the bad actress field was like, it was just sort of a bunch of basic paste.
It was a contentious field. Votings were all over the place.
Yeah, nobody did really super bad, but there was so many that just didn't do good.
Yeah, there was so many that didn't do good. That is the way to put it. Sam, speaking of bad actresses, how do the awards for best and worst actors and actresses stack up to what we've seen in the past?
You know, there isn't a front runner. There isn't anybody. There's no Russell Crowe's. There's no Johnny Depp's that are just screaming, me, mm-hmm. It's me. I'm the worst. This year, it's been, as you said, more contentious field, both sides.
Yes. The SMAPVA Awards were determined by the good folks at Stinker Madness with the help of key contributor Martini Shark. Each category allowed for 4 nominations from each member of the committee. The nominees were then polled in a blind survey to determine the winners. Committee members placed their favorites in order from 1 to 5. Each vote scored points where it was placed, with first place votes scoring a 5, second place scoring a 4, and so on. The totals were tallied, and the highest score determined the winner. In case of a tie, new votes were cast for the ties. If the tie remained locked, well, that's just how it goes, I guess. Now let's start the show with our first award. Sam, Best Bad Actress.
And the nominees are Emily Blunt, The Huntsman, Winter's War.
Woo!
Charlize Theron, The Huntsman, Winter's War.
Woo!
Jessica Alba, Mechanic Resurrection.
Yeah.
Gal Gadot, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Eh. Colon is right.
Yeah. Margot Robbie, Suicide Squad.
Woo!
Kristen Wiig, Zoolander 2.
Woo!
Micah Monroe, The Fifth Wave. Vivica A. Fox, Independence Day Resurgence. Penelope Cruz, Zoolander 2. Aubrey Plaza, Dirty Grandpa. And Anne Hathaway, Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Hey, you finished those last 3 so fast, I didn't even get a chance to make any noises.
Oh, it was taking too long. All right.
And you were completely wrong on
your just arbitrary sounds.
I think when you say the nomination for Micah Monroe, you should do it in her Fifth Wave voice.
Okay, I'll go back to that spot. Micah Monroe, Fifth Wave. Nobody's making out with me right now. It's really, it's so hot. And the winner is...
Come on, Margie.
Margie?
Margot Robbie, huh? It is... Margot Robbie and Suicide Squad.
Yes! Woo!
Hey, guys.
You're going somewhere very bad.
And?
Complete the mission, you get time off your prison sentence. Fail the mission, you die.
She seems nice.
What a ride!
And boy,
Lord, play with me.
Stay evil, dollface.
Michael Monroe came in second, which is like the story of her life. She doesn't get to make out with any of the hot boys.
Tell us the rest of the field, Sam.
3 was Vivica A. Fox, 4 was Emily Blunt in The Huntsman, and 5 was Charlize Theron in The Huntsman.
Nice.
Which, Charlize Theron stunk. Emily Blunt was just confused. She was just lost. She didn't know what movie she was in. It was great.
I didn't put Margot Robbie in any nomination at all.
I didn't either, so...
I did not vote for her. Jackie and Brad both voted her number one.
Yeah, and we split somewhere else, I guess.
So, Jackie, why Margot Robbie?
I just think that she really nailed the character of...
whose name I don't know. Harley Quinn. Jackie.
Harley Quinn. Yeah. Shut up.
You were asking me... I'm trying to answer, sir. I just thought she just encapsulated that character very well. The crazy, like, cute, ass-kicking chick that will probably cut your dick off.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I just thought she did it really well, and I really enjoyed her performance.
I thought she was a prop. I thought she's the pretty lady that is, hey, look at this movie, because she's got her butt out for most of it. For so you better come watch this movie so you can see butt cheeks. She was a prop to me. I didn't think she did anything impressive at all.
Oh, I thought she did. I really enjoyed it.
My number one didn't even make the finalists. I thought Anne Hathaway's arms and was the... whatever, Alice Through the Looking Glass, that was just irresponsible arm movement. And I voted that number. It didn't even get in the top 5.
Because you enjoyed it, while the rest of us may have felt differently about Anne Hathaway.
I even when we were watching it, I thought, man, what is she doing? This is hilarious.
I put Maika Monroe from The Fifth Wave as my number one.
Yeah.
I thought she was a blast.
She was number 2 for me.
We talked about her for a month afterwards, after seeing how stupid her performance was.
6 months since we watched that movie. Yeah. I was still making this voice.
So that was my number one. I also had Vivica A. Fox in there as my number two because I thought her role, it wasn't that she did anything spectacular, but her role was so fucking silly. Like, hey, it's Vivica. Oh, she's dead as shit.
I forgot that she was even in it until the first round of vote. I was like, oh yeah, she was in that shit. I forgot. Just shot her down the building. Well, how about that?
See, my number two was Emily Blunt.
I have no problem with that. She was really bad.
Yeah. I enjoyed Emily Blunt in Huntsman Winter's War.
Excuse me, over here. Over here, Emily Blunt. Wait, which way do I go? Who is this? Who's talking to me?
Yeah, I thought she was funny.
And Charlize Theron stunk, as she typically does. And I thought her stinking was pretty enjoyable as well.
Yeah.
She was,
She just made poopy face throughout the entire movie. And God, Charlize Theron.
And then turned it to 11 in the last scene. We're like, oh, fuck. Come on, really?
Yeah, she was a blast. I liked everybody except for Margot Robbie, but the 2 number one votes for her will take it.
Yeah, I'm glad. I like I said, she was my number one pick, and I'm glad she won.
Jackie, please deliver us the worst bad actor. Now this, again, we should probably clarify these awards. Worst bad actor means somebody who gave a shitty performance that we did not enjoy. We did not disliked. Enjoy.
Yeah, we hated these people. And the nominees are Jared Leto, Suicide Squad. I'm trying to do like the Oscars type thing. You know, it really classes up a little bit.
Okay.
Ty Sheridan, X-Men Apocalypse. That's right.
Apocalypse.
Sure, Parkalypse.
Bill Murray and Ghostbusters. Daniel Radcliffe, Now You See Me, 2. Jeff Goldblum, Independence Day Resurgence. Johnny Depp, Alice Through the Looking Glass. And Jesse Eisenberg, Batman versus Superman, / Dawn of Justice.
It's just a colon.
It's just a colon.
Oh, well, I can't read. Huge.
It's a huge inflamed colon.
That one's got some red around the ring.
That one's got an itchy butthole.
Yeah.
And the winner is... can't get the damn envelope open. Okay, hold on.
They're hermetically sealed.
Yeah, you should have provided us with like a tiny sword to get into these goddamn things.
Jared Leto, Suicide Squad.
What do we have here?
I did everything you said. I helped you.
You helped me by erasing my mind what faded memories I had. Oh. You left me in a black hole of rage and confusion. Without the medicine you practice, Dr. Quinzel.
What are you gonna do? Are you gonna kill me, Mr. J?
What? Oh, I'm not gonna kill you. I'm just gonna hurt you. Really, really bad.
Yeah, no surprises
Justice
there.
Justice is served.
Yes, indeed.
And he was tied with Jesse Eisenberg for Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, they're both turds.
So, and when we redid, when we did the tiebreaker, Jared Leto won.
Yeah.
And I'm not that surprised because I voted him as number one.
Yeah, I did
all
too.
The way.
I did too. The three of us did.
I struggled with that decision, though. It was really tough between Jesse Eisenberg and Jared Leto.
I struggled so much that when I found out it was a tie, I texted that if they tied again to just let it go because they are guilty of the same offense. They have taken a great character and shat all over it.
Made them shitty.
Just made the two main arch villains in comic books and just made them silly pieces of garbage.
If this was the first time you had ever seen either Lex Luthor or the Joker, like that, this is the one. They never would have gotten seen ever again because of how badly those two fucked up their roles.
Exactly.
Well, not to mention that Jared Leto having the Joker smile on his hand.
His butt is shit.
Putting it over his face was
look at me.
No, you were in a chemical accident that made your whole face fucked up. You're not a handsome dude with some fucking face paint on.
Yeah. You're not goth Joker.
Yeah.
He was goth and a gangbanger at the same time. His Joker made no sense.
None sense at all.
It was just, it hurts my head thinking about it. I think that he, in which is amazing, because when you're tearing down a classic character, I really would have thought after seeing Batman versus Superman that, wow, Jesse Eisenberg has fucked up a classic character worse than anyone could have possibly done it. And then I watched Suicide Squad and I forgot Jesse Eisenberg completely because of how bad Jared Leto did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed. My biggest beef, and I've stated this to you guys before, is that the Joker is a psychopath. He has no feelings towards man or life or anything at all. He is an empty slate of emotion.
Yeah.
That's why he can do the things that he does. This is mania. But Jared Leto's Joker clearly is in love with Harley Quinn. He loves her. He doesn't just use her to complete his ends and play on her obsession with him. He fucking loves her. He wants to marry her. He wants to have babies with her and have a fucking house with a white picket fence. That is not the Joker.
No.
Fuck you. Eat shit. And then Jesse Eisenberg's completely unintimidating Lex Luthor. Like, wow, what a scary villain. This guy's gonna really fuck shit up. No, he's a tax accountant. Push him down and go on about your business.
I just thought that he was acting like he was retarded.
He sucked.
Isn't that the WhatsApp guy? Yeah. He's not Superman's worst enemy. You're talking about the betrayal of the character in the storytelling with the Joker. In the extended version, it was more clear that Darkseid's pulling Lex Luthor's strings.
Mm-hmm.
There's another betrayal of a character. Lex Luthor doesn't really get his strings pulled. He's a string puller.
That is correct.
What the fuck?
Yeah. No, know your characters, DC. You're not doing a good job. Jackie, tell us about the rest of the field.
Well, number three was Johnny Depp and Alice Through the Looking Glass.
A perennial recur in the SMAB Fuzz. Johnny Depp's probably always going to get nominated at least once a year.
And this was surprising to me, is Daniel Radcliffe got number four for Now You See Me Too.
Because that wasn't high enough, or
in his role as non-wizard adult man?
Well, I just thought that, Bill Murray would have scored higher than Daniel Radcliffe.
I did not think that at all.
Whenever Daniel Radcliffe shows up and he isn't a boy wizard, people don't buy it.
Nope.
Mm. I liked him in The Woman in Black. I thought...
Boo.
Shut up.
I love that, like, because I went to it thinking that they had made, so I get, someone texted me, let's go to Women in Black, and I'm thinking it's a sequel, a spinoff of Men in Black, and I was like, fuck it, I'll go see this. And then I'm watching the opening scene, and it's Daniel Radcliffe shaving, and I'm like, wait a second, I'm not in the movie I came to see. And I'm watching Daniel Radcliffe shave just because the movie is telling me that Daniel Radcliffe is an adult man.
He's now an adult. He's don't question him.
Yeah.
He is an adult. He's not a boy wizard.
A boy wizard.
No.
And he had a beard, and now you see me too, because like he is not a boy wizard.
And again, push him down. This is not an intimidating villain.
No.
Beat this child up.
And then the last one, which I was surprised. I'm really surprised that the fifth person on this list actually got to five, was Jeff Goldblum for Independence Day 4.
Yeah.
Or Independence Day 2, sorry.
The fifth spot's a hard one. I thought the top four were very easy to choose, but the fifth one was hard. And I put Goldblum in there as number five just because of the final scene in Independence Day is the one that sticks with me, where he's got a bus full of children and fighting the big bitch, what I can't even remember what.
Giant alien.
And his bloominess is so bad.
Yeah.
Whereas his bloominess in the first one is great and fun and endearing, and you like that character, and basically establish Jeff Goldblum as Jeff Goldblum.
Sure.
This one, it's cringeworthy when he blooms out.
He laid there. He gave it the fish.
Yeah.
Everybody else, and it sucks because Jed Hirsch and Brent Spiner, who don't work a lot, they showed up and they fucking turned it to 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got Goldblum next to him giving us the fish.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't care for Jeff Goldblum's return to that franchise at all. But
Once again, I would have voted in Bill Murray before I voted in
Jeff. Now, why Bill Murray?
I thought he was a dead fish in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but he was also in the film for about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I thought, is that, you know, he dead fished it, and I thought that his dead fish was just a little worse than Jeff Goldblum's dead
spoiler
fish.
Spoiler alert, he basically becomes a dead fish in Ghostbusters. Yeah, there you go. It gets blasted out of a window.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, I thought he was all right. Yeah, Jared Leto and Jesse Eisenberg tying, not much of a surprise. They can suck my hemorrhoid, yeah. Next up, I get to do one.
Oh, exciting.
It's the Mystery Science Theater 3000 Riffability Award for film that we think is the easiest and fun of to riff on while you're watching. And the nominees are Nine Lives, Ben-Hur, Mechanic Resurrection, Independence Day Resurgence, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, with a big hairy colon right in the middle, Dirty Grandpa, The Fifth Wave, Gods of Egypt, and The Huntsman's Winter's War. And the winner is...
Oh, look, his envelope doesn't have a problem.
It's because he knows how they're hermetically sealed.
Oh, okay.
The winner is Gods of Egypt!
Ages have passed since the gods walked among us. Before the fury swept over our land. Before the war that divided us for eternity.
You're not fit to be king. It's my turn now.
Set has taken over Egypt and enslaved its people. Only one god can save us, but not without his eyes.
Steal from a god? Only a madman would try such a thing.
Where do you suppose we could find someone so mad?
Oh, wow, I'm
surprised.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was going to be the fifth wave. We made fun of that thing like it was... We've been making fun of that thing for fucking 6 months.
Well, yeah, I voted Fifth Wave as number one.
Yeah.
Fifth Wave tied in second place with Nine Lives.
Mm.
Ah.
Then Ben-Hur, then Independence Day Resurgence. Now, I think I'm surprised. It was close. Gods of Egypt got 13 for a final score, and Fifth Wave and Nine Lives got 12s.
Sure.
So very close. But I personally think, and so do the listeners, our Gods of Egypt episode is one of the funniest we've ever had.
Yes.
So it's also like number 5 and most downloaded. Mm. So I wasn't too surprised about Gods of Egypt. We tore that thing apart. It is super silly. It is super ridiculous. And there's so much action that happens in it that's completely dumb and retarded that you have no choice but to make fun of it. It sets itself up continually for being laughed at.
It does. It has a lot of ridiculous characters and creatures as well.
Mm-hmm.
That there's really, it's a giggle fest.
It is. And it's enjoyable to watch, whereas the Fifth Wave isn't that much fun to watch.
No, it wasn't that much fun to watch, but boy, could you lampoon the shit out of it.
Yes, you could.
Well, yeah, they're training kids to go out and kill other kids.
And the special effects, like the stupid, the identifiers of the evil kids.
Yes.
Are like a skull video game or something. Uh-huh. Oh, man, it was bad.
And sexy half-hybrid human alien having sex in the back of a car with a 13-year-old girl.
Oh, that's always
and
good.
Nobody thought that was going to be a problem in the film. Good.
I mean, it's probably still statutory in Iowa, but now we're under intergalactic law, Justin.
True. That's true.
What's the give me the rules on that one.
I don't know.
That down.
I think she was supposed to be like 16.
Yeah,
or 17.
She's underage though, and he's smarmy, beardy, hybrid alien. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's so dreamy, and then. Not to mention Makeup Monroe again.
Being jealous of that. Arthur got statutory raped.
And then Nine Lives, of course, is banana business. Now, my problem with Nine Lives as far as riffing, which is why I didn't give it my number one vote, is it is such a spectacle the first time you see it that you're kind of not riffing on it. You're just, your jaw has hit the floor and you're stunned by how bad it is. So it takes at least 2 viewings to be able to riff on Nine Lives.
Yeah, it's unintentionally gathering too many of its own laughs for you to make fun of it that first time through.
Right. Your brain has just kind of gets turned into mush the first time you watch it. But Gods of Egypt, I thought, was an absolute blast. I was laughing at it when we were at the theater. I couldn't keep up with the jokes that I was trying to scratch into my phone ahead of it. Because it was just moment after moment after moment of stupid shit.
Well, you know, and Justin got me Gods of Egypt for Christmas because, like I said on the podcast, I wanted to own that one on Blu-ray.
I am actually ready to watch that again.
Yeah, I'm
due.
Yeah,
me too. I mean, I loved it.
It's a lot of fun. And then Ben-Hur, we should mention.
Oh, go fuck yourself, Ben-Hur.
I think Ben-Hur's biggest problem was that it was Ben-Hur. Because I would have named it something else. Pretend it's not Ben-Hur or whatever. There wasn't another Ben-Hur. I could have really made fun of it. I was too angry and kept comparing it to the second film version of Ben-Hur with Charlton Heston more than I was actually riffing it.
Yeah.
And that's its problem, is that it's just an infant standing in size 12 shoes.
Yeah, Ben-Hur got a vote for second, third, and fifth. I didn't put it there. No, I put it in for fifth. The end is just so infuriating to me that you have to be able to rewatch a good riffer. And I never want to touch Ben-Hur again because I was infuriated by it.
Well, they didn't. It's Ben-Hur, A Tale of the Christ, but then they forgot about it for most of the way. They're like, oh, yeah, the Jesus.
Yeah.
We're just going to put the Jesus in here at the end. Wait, you've made this whole fucking movie about one chariot race. You've ended that movie, and now you're like, BTW, the Jesus.
The Jesus. But the beginning had a lot of stupidity moments that you could riff on as well. But I just, by the time I got to the end, I was mad.
Yeah. And I actually think that the first 45 minutes were intolerably slow as well.
Yeah.
So that's difficult.
Jackie, any thoughts from you on the picks?
You know, Ben-Hur, it deserves to be there
because
it was such a pile of shit.
Right.
Like I said, not surprised with Gods of Egypt. I loved that movie. Nine Lives.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, that one.
I don't know if you like the Nine Lives too much.
I mean, the cat giving the pull the chute, kid. No, I did not like the Nine Lives. Like, I thought that movie was such a pile of shit. And I don't think it's riffable. I think you just go, what the fuck? So I'm really surprised that it was that high up.
Yeah, yeah, be prepared. I think Nine Lives is going to someday be an episode of Riff Tracks or Mystery
Something
Science
like
Theater.
It's probably flirting with Super Baby's bad.
It's pretty bad.
Because let's just face it. If you're rich and you have that kind of money and a cat ruins your fucking wallpaper that obviously is some kind of tapestry with some stuffing behind it, that cat doesn't get to stay.
But it's your dad.
No, that cat gets put down that day. That woman grabs that fucking cat, shoves it in a box, and takes it down to get gassed. I mean, it's just, no, that is not realistic. Nobody is that patient. Like, oh my God, you just ruined $30,000 wallpaper. Go fuck yourself, weird fucking ugly ass cat.
But it's my wallpaper. I can do what I want because I'm a fucking cat. I'm Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey, the cat.
Oh, but I will say, though, that my most enjoyable was when the cat was drinking out of the liquor cabinet. I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I get that. I think even the second time you watch Nine Lives, you're still going to be so astounded by how stupid it is that you won't be able to make fun of it.
It might be a three-tripper.
It might be a three-tripper. Yeah. If you're going to really, if you wanted to sit down and really write jokes about that movie, it might be three trips through before the overwhelming, what the fuck were you thinking about, wears off.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. All right, Jackie, you're up next with a big one. Worst bad movie. The film that we enjoyed the least.
Or if you're me, you just voted for the ones you hated.
Yeah, you hate. These movies suck. Don't watch them.
And the nominees are Mother's Day, Alice Through the Looking Glass, Warcraft, which was the biggest piece of shit ever, just throwing that in there, Now You See Me Too, Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad, X-Men Apocalypse, Ghostbusters, and Allegiant. Mm-hmm. And the winner is once again, my envelope sucks buttons. Ha! Okay, I got it out. What? The winner's Mother's Day.
Hello, Atlanta. Happy Mother's Day. Hey, you know no junk food for breakfast.
Ted lets us.
He also lets you go to school without any underwear.
It's called free balling, Mom.
Sandy is a single mom.
Her ex just got remarried to like a 12-year-old.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
I'm here for a job.
Tell me more about this tween and your ex-husband.
I'm sure I exaggerated. I'll have a better idea once all the acne clears up.
Bradley is Mr. Mom.
Did you go to the supermarket?
What do we need?
Juice.
Eggs.
Eggs? And tampons.
What was that?
Tampons.
I'm just gonna write T. I'll know what that means.
Need a price check on organic.
No, that's not necessary.
Daughter?
Yeah, two.
Same boat, two sons.
It's nice meeting you. Sandy with two sons.
Jesse never sees her mom.
It's just all this Mother's Day stuff, and I start thinking about how I haven't talked to Mom.
Hi.
Oh, I have to say, Jess,
you haven't aged that much.
Thank you. I will
run to the river.
Man,
doors
open.
You guys are supposed to be in Texas.
Yeah. We've been driving 20 hours straight.
Where's the little ladies' room?
I gotta drain the lizard.
Thank you for sharing down the hall.
I can't take him anywhere.
Yeah.
Kristen never met her mom.
I was adopted. I've always wondered, did she just throw me away?
What you have to do, you have to find your mother.
Do you have kids?
Career keeps me busy. Who shall I make it out to?
How could it not be Mother's Day?
Mother's Day in a landslide.
You watched it. It was fucking terrible.
Yeah, but let me just go through the rest of them here before we start doing this. Number two was World of Warcraft.
That's surprising.
Number three was Suicide Squad. Four was X-Men Apocalypse. And five was Allegiant.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised
now
by
You
Allegiant.
See Me didn't make the field final.
No, no.
That was a horrible movie about magic.
Yep.
With a boy wizard not playing a boy wizard.
It was pretty awful. It was pretty awful. But Mother's Day.
Yeah, that's the statement there. Mother's Day is awful.
What was Mother's Day final score?
18.
Yeah, that's a big score.
Yeah.
Considering a perfect score is 20.
20? Yowza.
Mother's Day sucks. It is awful. It is a terrible, horrible experience. It's offensive. There's no excuse for it.
There is no excuse for it.
These mothers should be banned from America. Kick them out. We don't want them. This is not a tribute to mothers. When you watch this movie and you're like, God, moms suck. You have fucked up your Mother's Day movie.
Yes, you have.
Big time.
I'm going with World of Warcraft should have been number one.
Really?
What was Warcraft's final score?
That was a 13, yeah. So it was down.
Pretty high.
It's a high score.
Yeah.
But I just, fuck you, World of Warcraft, stupid ass.
It's just called Warcraft, just so you know. But
Warcraft movie.
What's your big problem with Warcraft?
Well, one, the story was dragging its butt on the carpet. Two, the king looked ridiculous because his uniform was way too big for him.
Dominic Cooper maybe should have been considered for worst bad actor.
Yeah.
He didn't work.
No, he didn't. Mm-hmm. But everybody else sucked equally as bad in the movies, the problem.
Yeah.
They made a real level playing field with the acting that screwed all of their actors out of these awards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, why? Why did the monsters have to have drooly, disgusting fucking face?
Because they're orcs.
Yeah. You know what? I could do without that. That just, oh, fuck, yuck. I hate drooly, slimy shit. It's just...
I can't wait for you to watch Aliens.
I fucking hate it. I'm like, ugh. It just distracts me from everything. And then it was like, and it just irritated me even more because on top of these disgusting creatures, there was a shit story that I was like, oh my God.
There was a story?
There was a story, question mark?
Question mark?
Yeah.
I thought they were setting the table for the rest of the franchise.
That isn't going to happen.
No.
Yeah, it was like, well, we got a... this was the story in my mind. So-and-so is fucking crazy. We better go make an alliance with the humans so we can stay here.
And not to mention, you're downplaying how dumb the role of the protagonist is in this, where halfway through the movie, this guy you've been following and are supposed to care so much about just falls over and dies. And then you're left with the rest of this movie going, so what is this movie about then? And it turns out the answer is, jack shit.
Nothing.
Nothing. Warcraft is a horrible pile of garbage.
Its main problem versus Mother's Day is, despite the fact that it doesn't tell a story, is boring, full of bad acting, and the special effects fall apart at some point, it doesn't point its finger at you and say, this is how life is. And yes. Mother's Day does that.
Yes, that is correct.
And it's wrong about those things when it's pointing its finger
and
at you.
Offensive racism that's supposed to be funny and is not.
Oh.
It is not okay, not acceptable. And the performances from the cast in Mother's Day eat dog shit.
Which I'm sure we'll hear more about later.
Yes, absolutely.
Mailing it in.
Number three?
Oh, it was Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad. I was shocked that that wasn't... I thought for sure number one and number two would be Mother's Day and Suicide Squad.
So did I.
Everybody hates Suicide Squad. It is... not likable at all. Again, that anger you feel while watching a film will trump a boring film, in my opinion, any point in time. I would rather be bored than pissed.
Yeah.
And Suicide Squad pissed me the fuck off.
It pissed me off.
Well, actually, I'm surprised it was as high on the list as it was.
Okay.
Because Allegiant, like, that was number five.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly did not enjoy that movie at all.
Didn't enjoy it at all.
It was boring.
And at least with Suicide Squad, it had some special effects that I could take away from and be like, okay, you know, that was okay.
Huh. Name one.
Harley Quinn looked great.
That's not a special effect.
Well, I mean, there's special effects on my boner. And there wasn't, actually, to be really honest. I just didn't think that it was sexy at all.
No, I find crazy bitches to not be sexy. Steer clear.
You know, and I thought the fighting was better in Suicide Squad.
Ugh, I prefer the fighting in Warcraft, to tell you the truth.
I actually thought some of the choreography, considering they're fighting nothing,
mm-hmm.
That first forest ambush thing, mm-hmm. I thought that went well in that movie.
Yeah.
There was very few things that went well in Warcraft, and I thought that scene went well.
I thought the fighting was... awful. Will Smith, action guy, needs to not be a thing. I can't enjoy any time he's action guy. I fucking hate him. So no, fighting sucks.
And that there was the guy that turned into the giant devil doll.
Not to mention the female, the spooky ghost lady. The
Enchantress?
The Enchantress. Her special effects were quite dumb.
And they're the goddamn, if I have to see the dark gray smoke as a special effect one more fucking time.
Yeah, that's a cop-out.
Good God, that's is that in every goddamn thing.
Special effect cop-out. Mm. It's like particles. You hit the particle button.
Yeah.
Whoa, look at our effects. Nice. You hit the particle button.
You just did it again.
That is not neat.
So number four was the X-Men Apocalypse.
Yes.
And I'm going to be real honest. I kind of shut this one out of my mind. I don't remember a lot about it. I just remember being very disappointed. It just didn't deliver like some of the other X-Men movies did. I mean, not to say that what? The other ones were like award-winning bullshit, but
could be the worst of the bunch if not tied with X-Men 3.
I mean, the fighting was dumb. The actors just didn't have it going on.
The special effects are garbage.
The guy, the kid, I'm going to say the kid who played Scott, that's the one with the laser
Cyclops,
eyes, right?
Yep.
Cyclops.
Yeah.
That little fucker, yuck. No. He was not a Scott.
He's nominated for worst actor.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with Ty Sheridan later.
Yeah. I mean, he's just not, a Scott.
It was aggravating, the X-Men Apocalypse, because it was that deadly combo of infuriating and painfully boring.
Painfully boring.
It was awful.
And, before I see Mother's Day and a couple of the other films in the field, this was, I thought, my hands down, I'm voting this thing number one because it made me so angry.
You said that it couldn't be beat.
It couldn't be beat.
And it was.
It was beat. I was so mad at the end of this movie because it's not just that it's painfully boring and angering. It's that it's painfully boring and it's supposed to be telling the most riveting section of the X-Men comic series ever.
Mm-hmm.
This is the biggest saga that they have, pretty much.
Pretty much.
And they squander it in 2 hours.
And not to mention, there's some really stupid things that happen in that movie. Like Psylocke just fucking off at the end. She just kind of walks away.
And she was barely there in the to begin with.
Right there. Get that bad guy that's just wandering off.
Just
so dumb.
Walking. And even when she was there, she's like, am I supposed to be doing something?
And there's no excuse for it because this is a talented cast. Oscar Isaac is fucking fantastic. I don't give a shit about Star Wars.
He can be.
That guy rules.
He can be, but he's been in so many turds lately.
Yeah, yeah.
That it's starting to get like, hey, buddy, start maybe picking half the scripts.
And I used to have really, really high respect for Michael Fassbender, but that is rapidly slipping away.
He's also doing movies he shouldn't.
And McAvoy sucks, period.
I thought he was good. The first time I was like, hey, this McAvoy guy, he's all right. Then like 6 months later, I was like, hey, it's the king of the shithill. That guy. Which I actually, because of how many shit, I'm starting to really like him. He's just a...
bad actor.
He's a slummer. He just doesn't give a shit. Welcome to the Punch. He's in a movie called
The Punch.
Welcome to the Punch.
Ding dong. Who is it? It's the Punch.
Wait, no, the Punch isn't outside. You're inside.
Yeah, no shit.
You go, ding dong. Who's there? It's Steve. Come on in, Steve. Oh, welcome to the Punch.
Oh, fuck you. And Split. I can't believe that it's good. I just can't believe that James McAvoy gets to play a loony bin guy directed by M. Night Shyamalan. And that's going to be good. I just can't buy it.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, X-Men Apocalypse is a shit stain on the film industry.
And again, with your classic villains being misrepresented, you have Magneto, again, another guy who never gets his strings pulled.
Mm-hmm.
They're fucking that character by him getting his strings pulled. But it doesn't matter because two people fucked it up worse.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the last one?
Allegiant, which we already talked about.
Yeah, Allegiant. Yeah.
I'm surprised that made the list.
Yeah, I am too. I didn't or vote for it at all.
I thought that was basically just like room temperature chocolate milk.
Yep. It only got a 5.
Yeah.
So everybody's bottom of the list must have just been all over the place.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, but yeah. Sam, your turn with worst bad actress. the actress whose performance we enjoyed the very least.
The nominees are the same ones from the last time, pretty much. We have Jessica Alba, Mechanic Resurrection. Kate McKinnon, Ghostbusters 4K. Jennifer Aniston, Mother's Day. Lizzie Kaplan, Now You See Me Too. Kate Hudson, Mother's Day. Penelope Cruz, Zoolander 2. Cara Delevingne.
Yeah,
Suicide Squad.
The squiggy lady in Suicide Squad.
She was the enchantress.
Right.
Yeah.
But how do you say her last name? Cara
Delevingne. Delevingne, I'm guessing. Anne Hathaway, Alice Through the Looking Glass. Mia Wasikowska. Wasikowska. Who are these people? Mia Wasikowska. Alice Through the Looking Glass. Jennifer Garner, 9 Lives. And the winner is...
Got them. See, I think he purposely fucked with our envelopes.
Uh-huh.
Jennifer Garner, 9 Lives!
Ding, 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 ding!
Oh,
ding.
My God!
What?
I called your mom, too. I just wanted to get everyone together.
Well, it smells great. What are you cooking?
Roast cat.
Maybe its head got screwed up in the fall.
He's an alcoholic. I can't get him to eat, but I found an empty decanter of 50-year-old Macallan with fur all over it.
Well, at least he has good taste.
Maybe I should mix scotch into his food.
Can I use Dad's office for a minute?
Yeah, what's up?
I just want to see if I can find anything else that might help me with this whole Chicago.
Do they make MRIs for cats?
You mean CAT scans?
I should have landed on the knives.
Yeah, I don't know how you're surprised, Jackie.
I voted for the Enchantress Lady as number one.
She stinks pretty bad.
Yeah, I hated that
one. Go through the rest of the list there, Sammy.
Anne Hathaway tied with Anne Hathaway. I'm guessing that Anne Hathaway tied with Mia Wasikowska,
no.
But it was typoed.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it's Jennifer Aniston. Sorry. It was a 3-way tie between.
Oh, Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah, so.
That's who I had number one. I was infuriated. So Anne Hathaway, Jennifer Aniston as two, Kate Hudson as 3.
Yeah, but they tied.
Oh, all three of them tied?
Yeah.
Jeez. Actually, they all tied.
Yeah, but Jennifer Garner won the tiebreaker.
Ah, yikes. And then Cara Delevingne, Suicide Squad, was one vote behind that MAGA tie.
So let's talk about Jennifer Garner and 9 Lives.
Well, she stinks.
She stinks.
I didn't think she was as bad as the other women on that list.
The thing that you're failing to understand about Cara Delevingne is she didn't have any lines. Really, Jennifer Garner is wall-to-walled in 9 Lives. She is always there. Her presence is grating, and you just want to push her out the window of their high-rise apartment. The cat is a more likable character with its $30,000 in apartment damage than Jennifer Garner's presence at any point in time.
Wow, I did not feel that way.
Yeah, no, Jennifer Garner, if she appears in a movie, she's probably going to get my number one. She sucks.
She does suck. I am surprised because America's Sweetheart Jennifer Aniston was deplorable in Mother's
she's
Day.
She's very bad.
I was like pulling my hair out anytime she opened her mouth in that movie.
It's pretty awful. Kate Hudson, though, is nothing to trifle with in that film.
Nothing
either.
To trifle with. I actually think that the two of them were like... You know, we're old hat. They were just sort of strutting around the movie like they were both Meryl fucking Streep.
Yes, exactly.
And neither one. Yeah, sure. Okay, you're both hot or whatever. one of you used to be the pride of America's beauty or some bullshit. We all got haircuts named after you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Neither one of you really have ever done anything accomplishment-wise acting.
Not really. I have seen Jennifer Aniston do well. She was great in that movie, what's it called? Cake? Cake is fan-fucking-tastic, and she is brilliant in it. But Kate Hudson's never done anything other than be stupid Kate Hudson.
See, and the way that you feel about Jennifer Garner
mm-hmm.
is the way that I feel about Kate Hudson and Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
In that movie, it was just like, oh my God, I'd rather listen to the racist mother than hear anything else from either of you.
You almost take Kate Hudson's parents over Kate Hudson.
Oh, I did.
They're awful, awful women that just need to be slapped in the mouth. I'm sorry. I will punch them. Yes, I am a man. I will punch those two women. Square in the jaw. Fuck them. Anne Hathaway, though, I know you thoroughly enjoyed Anne Hathaway. The rest of us completely felt differently about her stupid...
Glenda knockoff.
Her arms just having a
mind of her own. Withdrawals from heroin side effect arms. It sucks. It is not enjoyable, her stupid, I am floating around at all times, even if I'm just standing still.
The first three times I was like, man, you stink. And then it was like, she's still doing it.
And she lazied it.
She's still doing it.
She had to do something that was really dumb, and then she just kind of half-assed it. It stinks.
I thought it was hilarious.
Jackie, defend your choice about Cara Delevingne.
How could you guys not have voted for her? She tried to do the Aaliyah Queen of the Damned thing at the end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She sucked a dick at it.
She sucked a dick at it.
And, you know, just that, I'm so helpless and I need help. But then when I turn into the Enchantress,
I'm a belly dancer?
Yeah, she didn't have the strength to pull off what the Enchantress should have been. Which is a badass motherfucking bitch that's going to rip your balls off to get what she wants.
She's just squiggy.
Yeah, instead she just kind of like, you're going to do what I say, right? Don't you talk back to me. You go, oh, no, you didn't.
Hips.
She does exactly what Anne Hathaway does with her arms, but with her butt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then she kind of keeps her arms out like a pterodactyl.
Yeah. Well, I'm evil. No, you're not. You're fucking silly. Yeah. I walk in there, and I'm any member of the Suicide Squad. I'm going to laugh at this bad guy.
Yeah, I'm going to throw a rock at you.
You are not it. You are not frightening in the least. This is hilarious.
Yeah, I just... Yeah, that's my defense, is that, she just didn't have what it took to pull off that character.
Yeah. I just, again, going back to the winner, I just find Jennifer Garner completely annoying. And, yes, she is straddled in an awful role in Nine Lives. But I just can't like her. Just can't like her ever. I never have. I never will. I'm sorry, Mr. Affleck, but your wife is...
They're not together.
Oh.
They've been on the Friends for over a year.
Sorry, Mr. Affleck. Your insurance is A-okay with me.
That would Ben Affleck has insurance?
Yeah, Affleck. He's got that duck thing.
Oh,
that's
no,
his company.
That's awful.
Yeah, that's a real bad joke.
Bad joke.
That's a joke that Jennifer Garner probably told him nightly, and he told her to get the fuck out of his house.
Affleck. It's your last name now, too.
It's
make
not.
Make me a sandwich. But how strong a feel do you have that Jessica Alba can't make it in? Because she stinks.
Oh, she was atrocious in Mechanic Resurrection.
Didn't even get close.
I wanted her to trip on the beach, fall in the water, and then drown in like 2 inches worth of water.
Yeah, she was real bad in Mechanic Resurrection. Her character was fucking dumb as shit as well.
And she's just not, to me, she's not sexy.
I think she's got Down syndrome face. No offense to the Down syndrome people, but she's got eyes that are too close together and weird lips. I know everybody thinks she's just the pinnacle of hotness, but I think she looks like she might have ran into a wall. Sam, you get to do two in a row, and you've got a big one here. Best bad actor, the actor we enjoyed the most in a shitty performance.
Oh, I know who I want to win.
The nominees are Gerard Butler, Gods of Egypt, Kevin Spacey, Nine Lives, Gerard Butler, London Has Fallen, Jason Statham, Mechanic, Resurrection, Brent Spiner, Independence Day Resurgence, Bill Pullman, Independence Day Resurgence, Chris Hemsworth, The Huntsman, Winter's War, Christopher Walken, Nine Lives, and the winner is... This one opened a lot easier. you forgot to sabotage this. Nope, he did. Fucking goddamn it.
Hey, that paper's cut in half.
This is our first tie.
Mm-hmm. For number one.
For number one. Gerard Butler and Brent Spiner have tied. Gerard Butler, Gods of Egypt, oddly enough, not Mike Banning.
Yes.
Which is the surprise of it.
I was shocked that Banning didn't win.
Yeah, I mean, I have, when you say Gerard Butler's at top, like, okay, Mike Banning tied with Spiner. Good job, Spiner. What? Gods of Egypt?
Gods of Egypt, Gerard Butler takes number one. With.
Amazing.
Sharing it with Brent Spiner.
Brent Spiner, who was. Brent Spiner was a real fucking show stealer.
He stole that movie's show.
I think that I probably don't like that movie without him in it.
Not a chance. Mm-hmm. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
Go through the rest, yeah.
Three, Mike Banning, Gerard Butler, yes. One in His Fallen. Four, The Dark Horse, the one we didn't think was going to be there. Chris Walken, Nine Lives.
Yes.
Five, Kevin Spacey, Nine Lives, which that's, I mean, good job, Chris Walken, for being on screen for 5 minutes and then, you know, taking it out from under Kevin Spacey, who was enjoyably terrible.
Yeah, Gerard Butler in Gods of Egypt. I did not put him as in my number one. You and I both put Banning as number one. Yeah, so, Sam, why not Mike Banning, number one?
Because of how awesome Brent Spiner was in Independence Day 4. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't like the movie without him in it. And it was like, they just let him go to town.
Yeah.
They just, all right, run around without your pants on. Here's your butt. The best part about the here's your butt was that it wasn't just a double or some quick shot of like, hey, a comic butt. It was a tracking shot.
Right.
This is a shot that took time to set up. And then he stops in the middle of it and stares back at the camera and goes, that's Brent Spiner's butt.
Yes, he owns that ass. Brent Spiner was fan-fucking-tastic. Absolutely. I didn't put him as my number one. I think I put him as my number two because I loved Gerard Butler so much in London Has Fallen. He's a maniac. He is completely unhireable as a individual because he probably belongs in prison, but as the guy that must stop an entire army, there's nobody in the world better at stopping an entire army solo as Mike Banning.
No,
that
isn't.
Man is a killing machine.
He is a machine built for killing.
And he's insane. And Gerard Butler doesn't pretend that the character's not ridiculous. He runs with how stupid the character is. I'm thirsty as fuck is just the craziest line. He's talking out the side of his mouth the entire movie because he can't hide his Irish accent unless he does that. He's a lot of fun. But I also put him in for Gods of Egypt pretty high. I think I had him as number three because he's the same. He's Gerard Butler being bananas in Gods of Egypt.
He is being bananas in Gods of Egypt. And then it is a lot of fun in Gods of Egypt because he just sort of tries to be a normal guy every once in a while and then goes back to being crazy Gerard Butler.
Transformer.
So, yeah, you get a base level of comparison to nonsense, which makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah. And his I'm evil scenes, like I'm the bad guy when he goes all bad guy, are pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jackie, your thoughts on the list?
I'm just really disappointed that Mike Banning didn't win number one.
I was shocked.
But I'm with you guys about, you know, the Gods of Egypt, Gerard Butler, when his jokes were funny.
Mm-hmm.
He was like this evil dude who was like, hey, guess what? I'm your friend. No, I'm not. Ah! And then he pulls a chair out from underneath you as you try to sit down.
Yeah.
That's the kind of funny he was.
Also, I'm a Transformer. Don't forget that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think either way, I'm glad that he won first place.
Yeah.
I mean, even though he had to tie with Brent Spiner. But I also thought that Brent Spiner, when we did it, the tiebreaker, I also voted him high. I think he was my number two out of the tiebreakers because he was just so damn funny. And I think you're both right. Without him in Independence Day 2,
it's a turd.
I would have, no.
Yep.
And
he owns that movie.
Yeah. Who are the other two again? Christopher Walken, right?
Kevin Spacey and Christopher Walken from Nine Lives.
I'm really surprised that Kevin Spacey even got on this list.
I am not.
I wasn't that impressed with his performance. He was just being Kevin Spacey.
My first round before we did tiebreakers on this, I think I had him two to Brent Spiner or something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
I had him really high.
Yeah.
I didn't have, so I'm probably the reason that Mike Banning didn't win. I didn't have Biden very high.
Yeah, possibly.
But what do I think about Christopher Walken?
Christopher Walken steals that show as well.
Holy shit, that was like, oh God. He's
hilarious.
He's so fucking funny.
Unintentionally.
Like, the kitty, his like, no. squiggles.
The
like,
cat whisperer.
Yeah. His version of the cat whisperer, uh-huh. which I'm sure would not really, maybe it does. Maybe Chris Walken is sitting in his house doing all of those things and winking at cats. And they're just like, yeah, that guy right there. He's got it. And it's actually the truest performance that has ever been done on film. And we just think he's being weird, but it was odd looking.
It's bonkers. It's unintentionally hilarious the entire time Chris Walken's on screen in that film. And you might have the same thing with Brent Spiner. You take Chris Walken out of that movie, you still got this awful, terrible fucking movie.
It's terrible.
That's a piece of one of the worst movies ever made. But you put Chris Walken back in there and suddenly you got a really fun time.
And yeah, without Chris Walken being in that movie, it would have been completely forgettable.
Yeah, maybe. Well, it's still real, real, real bad.
It's real bad without him. But it becomes almost charming because of him.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And I also enjoyed Kevin Spacey in Nine Lives. His cat is really dumb. The whole pooping thing that he has to go through, I'm not going to poop in the kitty litter box. And his character's journey into, well, I guess I have to be a fucking cat. That's just how things go. And his inner monologue is just, that's Academy Award Kevin Spacey.
Academy Award.
One of the biggest douches on the planet, so I've heard, and he's a cat. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, this role is Kevin Spacey's comeback role.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey has returned to film. He's back and he's going to really go places. No, he's a fucking cat. Probably not Kevin Spacey. I think you're through. So
I think with both Brent Spiner and Chris Walken, like showing being in the movie and sort of elevating the whole film with their performances, they both like the movie knew exactly when it needed them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because Nine Lives was honestly on a short leash.
Mm-hmm.
Because Walken shows up pretty early in the film.
Correct.
Because you weren't going to keep watching it unless something like that happened.
Yeah.
He's the sort of moment like, okay, I'm not turning this off now because of you right there. And it was the same. Independence Day was allowed to throw out a little bit more rope,
mm-hmm.
but it was losing me. And then all of a sudden I was like, whoa, they brought back Brent Spiner.
They should have a spinoff. Independence Day, Brent Spiner. Just that's it. It just follow that guy around.
By the end of the movie, with how much he's involved with it, the screen time in the second half,
mm-hmm.
and that he's sort of got the final word of the film as well.
Correct.
If they end up making the next two, I would expect him to have a fairly expanded role.
Please do. Love Brent Spiner. Always have.
Yes.
He's great. I've actually heard him on a couple podcasts. He's an incredibly intelligent, charming, funny individual. He should be America's sweetheart.
Yeah.
Brent Spiner's awesome. All right. We come to the final one. It's the big one. Best bad movie.
Bum, 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 bum,
this is the
bum,
one
bum,
we bum, loved bum, the most.
This is the one that says, stop what you're doing if you haven't seen this movie. Go out right now and watch it because it's fucking awesome.
What are you doing, cheating over there?
Oh, yeah, I am cheating. The nominees are for Best Bad Movie, The Huntsman, Winter's War, London Has Fallen,
yeah,
Gods of Egypt, Mechanic Resurrection, Nine Lives, Zoolander 2, The Boy, and Independence Day Resurgence. And the winner is...
It's going to be The Boy, Sam.
It probably isn't going to be The Boy.
The winner is London Has Fallen!
Yes!
There's no surprise there.
No surprise there.
Hell of a presidential race, sir.
Every day the same damn joke.
What the hell they make you out of?
Bourbon and poor choices.
With security at unprecedented levels, this isn't just a gathering of the world's most powerful leaders. It is the most protected event on Earth.
Welcome to London, Mr. President.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
Bugs the hell out of me. it down!
An attack has decimated the British capital.
Five of the world's leaders are now dead.
Stay with me! We'll get you out of here!
The American president. Is unaccounted for.
To our friends in the West.
Bakawe.
Number six on the 10 list.
What do you want?
Your president.
That's not going to happen.
Then every day from this moment forward will be on your head.
We have to find Bakawe before he finds the president.
We're going to kill him slowly and broadcast it live.
Yeah, well, you should have brought more men.
I will not be executed as propaganda. You don't let them take me. If it comes to it, I want you to kill me. That's an order.
With a score of 18.
Woo!
Kicked the shit out of basically everything. Number two was Gods of Egypt with a score of 13. Nine Lives came in third with 12. Mostly because of Jackie. Independence Day Resurgence and Zoolander 2 last place.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zoolander 2 is a lot of fun, Jackie.
Zoolander 2 was funny. It's
I
almost,
laughed my butt off at it.
Yeah, it's almost bad to call it a bad movie because it was just a... I mean, it's not a good movie, but...
Yeah, it's really stupid.
But it was sure funny.
I loved Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, I thought she was hilarious. Yeah. Yep. I loved everybody in Zoolander 2. But yeah, London Has Fallen, swept, kicked the shit out of everything else. Three number one votes and one third place vote. Yeah. So very high score. Absolutely loved it. It's probably... How I feel about London Has Fallen is as soon as we walked out of the theater, I knew we couldn't put a podcast about it because it is hard to lampoon because you have no choice but to fucking love it. Mm. You're just, I love every single bit of that movie and I can't make fun of it. And I knew that at some point I would own that movie on Blu-ray and it will stay in my, no matter what media comes out next, I will always own a copy of London Has Fallen. It is fan-fucking-tastic.
That's how I feel about it, too. It was just, I laughed. It's just that, it's one of those movies that it's really easy to get into the characters and relate to them quickly.
Within the first 5 minutes, you're introduced to how insane Mike Banning is because they take the Secret Service guys around him are like, we've tried to run him over before. We have tried to hit him with a car, and we can't. Because he's Banning. A, we need to run one of our men over because he's fucking insane. And B, we can't because he's fucking Banning. Within 5 minutes, that's how you establish Mike Banning.
And they also have the sort of, there's like that red herring plot line about him retiring to raise a family. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't do that. You're Mike Banning. You'll shoot your own children in the face.
You are going to not
you
be a good dad.
You need an outlet for shooting people in the face. Otherwise, you won't be able to raise a family.
Correct. And he stabs a man while choking him to death.
Yes.
On the phone with his brother. And the president goes, was that really necessary? No.
Nope.
That's fucking insane. That is so awesome.
Yeah, he's a psychopath.
He is a psychopath. And if London Has Fallen isn't everything you want in an action film, I don't know what you want in an action film.
Exactly.
Because it is the model for how you shoot an action film. It never stops, never lets off the gas pedal. There is a very high body count.
It is. Yes. The odd thing about it is that it had to sort of up the ante from the last one.
Right.
Which it does. And I think one of the things that it does versus the last one is that it got kind of a free hall pass. The last one was a confinement piece.
Mm-hmm.
They're in one location for the most of it. Right. So he's sneaking around killing 86 people.
Mm-hmm.
In a series of hallways, he kills 86 people.
That's not easy.
In the first one, he kills more people in this one, but it's out in the open, so the movie can be a real mover. Like, there's a lot of locations, he's flying around, it just really, the whole thing moves fast, and he's always killing somebody.
Always.
Unless he's thirsty, then he drinks some fucking water. And then he gets back to killing people.
And I personally feel like some of the action sequences aren't shitty and laughable. I applaud them. I think the helicopter sequence is fan-fucking-tastic. I'm on the edge of my seat during that. The long take shootout at the end is brilliant.
The SAS thing was awesome.
It's fucking awesome.
It was like the same way that I sort of, you have to praise the one sequence in World of War or Warcraft, the movie, for that part worked well. For this being not a good movie, for just an action flick that's just a popcorn job, they really put some time into that sequence, mm-hmm. and it really worked well.
It looks
and
fantastic.
It ends with a really, that's the best part about the sequence, is it's a long take and it ends with a really good stunt.
Yes.
Not CGI, not visual effects. It ends with a 20-foot jump onto a tarp.
Yeah.
That's a really good sequence.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic.
Not to mention that Gerard Butler is the most handsome man in the world.
Yeah, Jackie's got a real hard on for Gerard Butler. And
I'm just saying, Gerard Butler.
I'm not sure she's wrong.
I don't think she's the only one.
You gotta admit, you would look at him naked.
He's the boss. He's
They put him cool. next to Jennifer Aniston before, so
yeah.
He's obviously got something.
Time is breaking my heart because I know that Gerard Butler is aging, and I don't like it. I think he needs to be in all my movies.
Yeah.
He rules. Speaking of Gerard Butler ruling, Gods of Egypt number 2, as I said, 13 votes. We all enjoyed it thoroughly. Blast of stupidity.
He was so funny. I don't think he was supposed to be that funny.
No,
but he was.
No, he wasn't. It is definitely not supposed to be funny at all.
That whole movie is just one of those that it's so outlandish that you wonder, with all of the films that get screwed with by studios and the oversight and everything else is getting the rug pulled out from underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
How exactly did they get away with pulling that shit off?
I don't know. It is something. How did this get made, honestly?
Or it is the studio tampering. They're like, oh, add some giant snakes. We already got those from Dragon Wars. Okay, throw them in there. We got the models already. Yeah. That's what the movie seems like, is it's like, they had a bunch of base models that the studio already owned that were in the computer already. Like, just change them a little. We can go volume on this one.
It's like clip art. Like, oh, yeah. I've got this. I got to use it.
Yeah, we can redo the surfacing and people won't know. Just go volume with this one. Monsters everywhere. Whatever.
Yep. And we haven't even mentioned Nikolai Coster-Waldau, I believe is how you say. Jamie Lannister. He was a lot of fun in that movie. He stinks. Who was not the king god? Somebody important.
The one who got stabbed at the beginning?
No, the on the flying ship around the Earth that's fighting the black monster.
Oh,
at all times.
Jeffrey Rush.
Jeffrey Rush, yeah. He was fucking hilarious.
Jeffrey Rush was hilarious.
Unintentionally. The black stupid monster is hilarious. Unintentionally, the world eater or whatever.
Whatever it is.
So
that
dumb.
That whole thing. Again, it's like, oh, we got this. Just use it. Just do this.
The cramming in of the booby lady. Oh, these young teenagers. That one over there is falling out of her dress.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
That's right.
Jiggle.
Yikes.
Old jiggle. It's hilarious. Gods of Egypt is a great time. Nine Lives, third, with 12. It got 3 second place votes, and one person didn't vote for it at all.
Huh. That would be me.
Yeah. It's shockingly bad. It is
bad.
Can we think of a movie? When was the last time a film was made that has this much star power and is this bad?
Chomps.
Maybe not. Those are no. B-listers.
Yeah, those are B-listers.
These are 3 A-listers in this film.
Hmm.
Well, Kevin Spacey's a little bit on the outs, and Jennifer Garner's only there because she was married to Ben Affleck. But Chris Walken's a definite bona fide A-lister.
And, there's some good B-listers in there. You got Mrs. Kelly Ripa, Mr. Kelly Ripa.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark Consuelos, that's his name.
Gotcha, okay. It's mind-blowingly bad.
It is incredible. It's odd that you have the sort of cutesy family movie that just goes completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember the last one, and I just am having a hard time doing it.
Chomps is a good comparison, because but Chomps fucking blows. Chomps is unviewable. 9 Lives is incredible.
What about Dr. Doolittle?
I bet you those films are better than 9 Lives.
Yeah, I bet they are too.
I bet you there's actual one or two jokes that land in that, whereas 9 Lives fails on every level. It is so bad and amazing. Like, it is now a hallmark in bad film. It's as bad, in my opinion. Well, maybe not. It's nearly as bad as The Room. It is that level of ineptitude on all fronts, except for Tommy Wiseau is a much worse director.
I can't think of a family comedy that's as bad.
It's shocking.
You know, I do want to mention, though, before we move on from The Nine Lives, mm-hmm. that the woman who plays the ex-wife.
Cheryl Hines?
Yeah, she fucking nails it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cheryl Hines is funny.
Yeah. I like her, and most things that she's in that I've seen her in, mm-hmm. It's usually in one of these bit part type things, and I think she's funny.
Well, she's Larry David's wife in Curb Your Enthusiasm, for the duration.
Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty funny. She's very... Her character is a mundo bitch, and she pulls it off really well, and her character ends up being one of the more enjoyable characters throughout the movie, because she's just like, fuck Kevin Spacey the whole time. Fuck him. That guy sucks. He's an asshole. I got my money. I'm out. I'm glad he's a fucking cat, even though I don't know that.
I liked when he shit in her purse.
Yep. It's so bad. It is just, oh my God, Nine Lives is just so bad.
Maybe I should reconsider how much I say I don't like Nine Lives, because I just totally laughed.
I think you were blown away. I think it broke something inside of you. This is a movie. This can happen. Somebody can do this. I mean, I don't think, I would be willing to say that a big production movie hasn't been this bad since probably the 50s. And I'm talking like Invasion of the Giant Ants and EGA and Planet Nine from Outer Space bad. Like, it's amazingly bad.
Mm-hmm.
You'd got to go back to these movies that are always made fun of, like Air Bud and Baby Geniuses. It's probably not as bad. I haven't seen the second Baby Geniuses. It's worse than the first Baby Geniuses, which I have seen.
Okay.
I haven't seen Super Babies. Okay. Well, but now Super Babies had no equal. Now it might.
It might. Mm. It might. Yeah. Nine Lives. Whew, boy. Needs to be in the bottom 100 IMDb, if we're honest. But I fucking loved it.
It was hilarious.
It's hilarious. Independence Day Resurgence. Not a lot of votes. 8. Got a third place. Was its highest.
Spiner kicks it onto the list, basically.
Yeah,
that's how I felt about it, too.
Still an enjoyable, fun movie to watch. It was a bit of a disappointment, but still a lot of fun. Thrown under the bus considerably. And then the one I thought was completely thrown under the bus is Zoolander 2. I thought it was genuinely funny.
It was genuinely funny. The jokes land.
Mm-hmm. They're stupid jokes. Don't get me wrong. You put those jokes on paper and pass it over to your buddy and like, he's going to go, this is a stupid joke. This is a dumb joke. But Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson doing their shtick, those guys are truly funny because they take those bad jokes and make them. I was crying at some of them.
I think that the premise of Zoolander, even back from the first one, is dumb jokes about dumb people.
Yeah.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be so stupid that it becomes funny again. And it does that.
Mission accomplished.
I like when he gets stabbed in the face.
Yeah.
Yep. It's like, turn on the look. And he turns around and I just hits him in the face. Just...
What was the hashtag oops when he rolls the car?
That's hilarious.
Hashtag oops.
I've got Jack Reacher and Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit. Tonight's going to be a total jack off.
Ooh.
That's hilarious.
It is.
It's so stupid. I couldn't tell that joke and get away with it. Ben I would Stiller have been booed out of the building.
Yeah.
I loved that movie. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was better than the first one.
It was. And it actually makes me want to revisit the first one to see if, because it's been 15 years since I saw the first one, since it came out or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I thought the first one had some, I thought the Billy Zane joke in the first one was the funniest joke in the movie.
Right.
But it makes me want to go back and be like, did I miss some shit that was actually funny on this?
Yeah. Yeah. A little too maybe tongue-in-cheek for people to catch.
I liked the first one a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that this just completely got thrown under the bus by the critics. They weren't ready for it. It was a film that no one asked for. Sure. I understand that. But I think that maybe the jadedness that everybody's had in comedy for so long, this is this black slate of shitty bad comedies that the critics just go into a comedy instantly thinking this is going to be fucking stupid, and I don't enjoy it. I'm done. I'm going to give it a bad review before I've even stepped foot into that theater based off of the past. This is a stupid, dumb movie, and it is exactly what it's supposed to be.
By design.
By design. And right. I think it nails it.
Yeah.
Shouldn't even be, we shouldn't even be talking about it.
We shouldn't be talking about it. Yep. It's just that the rest of the field being what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was an odd year where you have this, the worst bad and the best bad. I mean, that it was like we were struggling to get a full field of movies, but there was this cream on the top that was fairly either spectacular or just deplorably terrible.
Very thick cream, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I think the biggest surprise for me with all of these has been how many votes and how many times Nine Lives character or actors and how many times that movie showed up on lists. I was not expecting that. I didn't vote for it for anything.
I'm telling you, it is a hallmark. It is now a cornerstone in bad film.
Yeah.
Everybody on earth that is a follower of particularly this podcast, all the message boards and the Reddits, anytime somebody's talking about bad movies and they haven't seen Nine Lives, it's going to be, you don't know what you're talking about, because it's one of the pillars of it now.
It's an
whatever this hobby is that we have.
Yeah, or it's also probably an orange diamond on the road of filmmaking as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're a producer and you make these sort of lower budget family pictures, and it's, you can get away with almost everything.
Right.
And the director's like, oh, we can get away with anything. Yep. And you just go and you point over at Nine Lives and you go, no, you can't.
You can't. You're absolutely
there
right.
There is a line that has been drawn with family entertainment, and it is Nine Lives. They screwed up the unscrew-upable.
That is a very, very astute point. Yeah. I mean, we've seen that time and time again where filmmakers just shit out something because they think the audience is stupid. Mm. We can do that because kids, usually it's about kids. Yeah. Kids are stupid.
Kids are stupid.
We can make something stupid and kids are going to like it.
We'll get away with it.
You can't do that. Kids are not stupid, and neither is your fucking movie theater audience. Nine Lives is a lesson for the future, and I'm glad that it happened.
Yes, I am.
So, but yeah, I thought it was a very strong year as a whole. I enjoyed a lot of the movies that we saw, and in truth, it was a better year all around for filmmaking, because we had to, normally what we take our pool from is movies that score less than a 30 on Metacritic, with a couple outliers here and there, you know, something really, really stupid like London Has Fallen, or The Boy Crept In.
Well, also, you guys shot in Dawn of Justice, which has above a 50, I think,
yeah,
on Metacritic. So.
Yeah. And so, but this year we had to up that because we would have had like three movies. We would have had Nine Lives, Mother's Day, and that would have been basically it. So, good for filmmakers that this year is much stronger than last year as far as searching for
and
avoiding bad movies.
It's not, Rotten Tomatoes isn't ever really the best bar, but Mother's Day was the only sub 10
mm-hmm.
that went to a theater this year, which is usually there's three or four sub 10s. So
yeah, absolutely. Strong year this year. So
a lot of them, like, you know, cause I'm not really willing to pay for movies because I'm a cheap ass motherfucker. I don't like to go to the theater and pay $10 for a movie, cause then it's going to cost me $20 in popcorn too.
Right.
But there were a lot of movies this year that I really wanted to go to the theater and see.
Mm-hmm. And we still haven't even tackled what we call, I've never talked about it on the podcast, the Good Movie Fest, which is where we view every single Oscar nom in one festival. We're doing that next week, I believe. And I'm jacked about them. I think that this field is so much stronger than last year's Oscar field. I'm excited about this year.
Me too.
So, final thoughts, guys, before we wrap it up.
Gerard Butler, I love you, and I'm so glad that you won this year again. And I just want you to know that if you're ever in the neighborhood, me and Justin will take you out for pizza if you want to come and see us.
Yeah, if you're ever in Boise, give us a shout out.
Yeah, because we will totally take you out for pizza.
So what's our biggest surprise then?
I think my biggest surprise was Gerard Butler not winning.
London
Has Fallen. Yeah.
London Has Fallen.
Yeah.
Like I said, mine was that Nine Lives was on so many lists.
I think mine's that either Jennifer Hudson or that Jennifer Garner's that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. How do you beat two women horribly pretending to be Meryl Streep? How do you do that?
I'll tell you my biggest disappointment, the best bad actress field.
That, it was, yeah.
That Margot Robbie took that barely with 2 votes. That was a weak field.
Who
this
was
year.
Second?
Oh,
Micah Monroe,
yeah.
I should have won.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in that field. It wasn't real deep. There wasn't a lot of outstanding female performances that were fun and shitty. There was a lot of bad female performances, but...
Yeah, there was. There wasn't anything that was just a lot of fun. I mean, mm-hmm. I think actually on the whole list, number 3, Vivica Fox is the most fun, and it's not because she's doing a bad job. It's because they basically said, hey, everybody, remember this lady? And then threw her in a dumpster.
Right.
And that's
right.
The film. That's yep. Not her. That's the filmmaking. Uh-huh. It's like that even the kind-hearted Roland Emmerich is like, man, you're terrible. I am throwing you in the dumpster.
You are dead.
You are a dumpster lady.
I mean, they did do, you know, they did try to do something nice for her, right? Like, you were a stripper, and in this movie, you're going to be a doctor, and then you're going to fucking die.
Then you're going to die.
You made it. No, you're
dead.
You
made it. Good night, sweet princess.
All right, well, that's it, folks. Thank you for listening, and be sure to reach out to us with your thoughts on the winners and losers by emailing us at talk@tinkermadness.com or on facebook.com/tinkermadness. We will read your comments and thoughts and arguments if you want to make them on the podcast. So enjoy your lives and get to the chopper.
Visit us at www.stinkermadness.com. Follow Stinker Madness on Twitter at Stinker Madness. Please rate and review us on iTunes and Stitcher. Thank you for listening and get to the chopper.
About a week into the movie, it was going great. So I got the rest of the stunt guys and I said, let's write a letter to the guys, you know, and we'll just, I wrote a nice card just saying, you guys are awesome, you know that? You're great to work with and we're just having a blast. And we sent them 6 Krispy Kreme donuts each. And so these notes, and we sent one to each, and they came out eating the donuts, and they're like, thank you, that's awesome, thank you. So then, oh God. So the next day, we order more Krispy Kreme donuts, and we put 6 of us, put them between our bum, and we take a photograph of our bums with Krispy Kreme donuts in them. We print the photograph, and we send them to the directors.
And so they thought,
and they come out going, what the f-?
I'm not sure that you're telling the truth. I mean, did you really do it the second day, or you just said, oh my God, they're going to be pissed, we better tell them we didn't really do this?
No. By the way, I wish, but you should try sticking one of these donuts.
By the way, that's
they kind of melt and they fall apart.
That is not. Yeah, because they're very light. But that is not how the donut trick is supposed to go. There's a reason there's a hole in the donut. And you've got it. I don't know how they do it in Scotland, but here we make use of the hole.
I tried that, but it kept falling off.
Yeah.
I was feeling very inferior.